Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. This week, I've got all sorts of things to talk about. No central theme, really, except for gratitude. Gratitude for life. Gratitude for everything that is falling into place and being revealed in the wake of Burning Man. So much of... And, you know, some of the things being revealed are not all yummy, perfect, what you would consider traditional gifts, but they are gifts, as the revealing and the learning and the obstacles end up becoming tools for growth. I am still recovering from Burning Man, and when I say recovering, I that's probably the wrong word. I'm still soaking in and feeling and kind of, it's kind of like, you know, after a big workout, you know, and the muscle, when it recovers, it comes back stronger. And I feel like that's how my spirit is after Burning Man. I feel like I'm broken down and I come back stronger. And I love and hate paying attention to online conversations about Burning Man, because there's so many people that are sharing these difficult to communicate experiences of growth and bliss and mind expansion. And then there's also people who just are so negative and so snarky, and you feel like, why does this online conversation so foreign from anything I experienced at Burning Man? So and there are times when someone will say some comment and I'll want to, like, and I'll want to respond or reply. And usually I take a breath and I go, this is probably a troll, someone who's trying to piss people off, which is such a, I just think that is the worst extension of Burning Man snarkiness. People who, like, intentionally try to get a rise out of people by saying things that, you know, trigger them, or post a picture of them. How do you like my new costume? And it's covered in feathers and it's glitter. And then so people, they, you know, lose their shit. But occasionally I will hear something and it will make me, I'll want to chime in, and then often promptly unsubscribe from notifications when they get too out of control. But there was somebody that, I saw someone post a beautiful picture of the piece, In Every Lifetime I Will Find You, which was this 25-foot tall polished metal sculpture of these two lovers. And it was gorgeous, and so many people resonated with it, and to be honest, I actually never got out to it. I saw pictures when I got back and was like, wow, that is so pretty, that is so touching, and that title is ache in the heart. And someone posted a picture of it on one of the Burning Man groups, and the first comment response I believe was, heteronormative, unrealistic body images shining in the sun. Fuck that. Somebody please build a sculpture of three or more mixed-aged and non-model typical figures engaged in an intimate human moment, and make it 75 feet tall and shooting lasers. Make a big human figure piece for everyone whose bodies have been avoided in contemporary art. I had to comment. Not because I feel like their desire to see their body type represented in art wasn't a legitimate desire, and that their frustration with seeing Michelangelo's David type bodies all the time and wanting to see themselves, I mean, sure, that's a totally reasonable frustration. But what I wrote to them is like, somebody, when you say somebody should at Burning Man, that somebody is you. It's like the very model of what makes Burning Man work is that duocracy, that philosophy that if you think something's missing, then you bring that thing. That does no good to complain or whine, or, I mean, you're empowered to make a difference. You're empowered to change things. You say, man, there should be more bluegrass at this place. There's too much techno. There's not enough live music. Well, guess what? You're empowered to bring a stage, or bring a band, or recruit musicians, or do whatever it would take to add whatever magic ingredient you think is missing. And if you think there should be sculptures that include non-heteronormative, non-model type bodies, then sweet! Welcome to the artist role. I know that I don't see myself as a sculpture artist, but I see myself as an artist. And the creation of Pink Heart, or the impetus for Pink Heart, was that feeling of there's something that I don't, that I wished there was more of. I wished there was more places where you could sit and talk and have nice lighting and feel accepted and warmth and love and this kind of vibe that I thought was a core part of what the Burning Man principles fostered, but I wanted more places where I felt deeply, and so that's what I brought. I didn't say, man, there's too much boom boom music and flashy flashy lights and not enough places where I can hang out. Guess what? I got to build that place with the help of an amazing team of people, a family of people. And what's more amazing is that that concept keeps growing and growing and growing and growing and growing as the people who are drawn to it, as the Pink Heart family draws to it amazing creative artistic people, and then they add their gifts to it. And it just gets more and more magic. And that's the microcosm of the Burning Man macrocosm. Everybody goes, ooh, you know what would make this better? Ooh, you know what would make this better? Ooh, you know what would make this better? Brrr, magic. Speaking of I am an artist, I had a cool treat this week when I got a note from a woman named Nancy Ratinsky, who is an art teacher for elementary school. And she took the words that I spoke in a Burning Man Tips and Tricks video about I am an artist and you are an artist, and she took the words and she made it into a poster that she hangs in her classroom. And she said that additional art teachers have been putting this poster in their classroom. And I was just like so flippin' touched. I want to read the words on the poster. It says, too often I see people show up and they kind of have the feeling they're not an artist. Let go of that definition of what an artist is. You might not put paint on a canvas. Being an artist is seeing the world as an opportunity to actively engage, to participate. You can be an artist in the way that you see a trouble in a line and offer a suggestion or solution. You can be an artist in the way that you help keep something clean. You can be an artist in the way that you help someone. If you don't think so right now, let go of that absolute and just be open to the fact you are an artist. You're magical. There is a creative fire that's burning inside you, and I can't wait to see what you create and say and share. Oh, man. Like, makes me kind of... And she said that, you know, it's for the kids, but it's also really for the parents. And she, it breaks her heart when she has parents that, you know, limit themselves. And, you know, by defining themselves as not being artists, they are kind of role modeling to their kids. And I think we live in a better world when everybody knows that they're an artist. If you're a human being, if you have a mind, you have creativity, and you have the ability to, you have the innate drive to create. Highly recommend the book Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert for an exploration of that idea of creativity and how core it is to who we are. And when we shut it down because we accept the societal definition of us not being good at art, therefore we're not an art. And good, meaning we don't have the artisan skills to create something that might be purchased, therefore we are not an artist. It is a massively limiting belief. And it shuts down a pipeline to an inspiration that is a huge part of what being a human being is about. So I'm super honored and incredibly, incredibly honored that my words spoken to Virgin Burners is also being shared with elementary school kids and their parents. In other news, I am deep in my new entrepreneurial project of the Pink Path. I've got these five amazing people, my premier and first crew of voyagers, explorers, brave souls that have trusted me to take them on this 12-week journey. And 1 week down, and I did a video after the first meetings last week where I was so excited. I was so stoked. And I feel like myself and these crew is already growing so much. I'm like, hope we can keep this up, because it feels really good right now. And it's also taken up a lot of my time and my emotional and mental energy, which is great. That's what I wanted. That's by choice. And so there's a lot of things that are, like, often on Hug Nation each week, I talk about whatever's going on in my mind, right now there's a lot that's in my mind that is not really in the category of shareable because of the container that we've created to go through this journey together. But there's one thing I did want to share, which is one of the kind of anchor points of the whole program is a series of I am statements, a series of things that you say about yourself that either define who you are or define who you want to be. And it's based on a piece that was in my first book that was like, I think it was called like Letter to Myself to Remind Me Who I Want to Be Each Day. And it was a series of statements, some of which I feel really solid on and some which are just, I need reminders of. And like the first statement on my list is, I'm a vessel of love. And I find that even if I start the day just with that one reminder, it changes the course of my whole day. If I don't go through my statements, or at least the first one, if I don't go through those statements and I just get up, and then what happens is who I am often gets defined by the first few emails I get, or the first few comments, or the first few things I read on Facebook. And suddenly I'm in, you know, reaction mode, and I allow myself to become and strive to be what people want me to be, instead of choosing who I am and then addressing each challenge or obstacle or opportunity from that definition of who I am. So that's become, you know, as I built this thing together, that list of statements is kind of the foundation of the whole Pink Path. And one of the things that I've been enjoying is those statements are a living document, and there's something that as you do them and you read them, if it doesn't resonate, or you edit it a little bit, or if there's something that is affecting you and those statements aren't addressing it, it's like, we'll add a new one. And so I've had a cool experience over the last, as I've been doing this alongside with the participants, of adding a statement to help me deal with things. I was in the after Burning Man excitement and sharing about what went right and what went wrong. I was having some moments where I was feeling criticized, and I was struggling with it. So I kind of got myself in a little bit of a loop in my head, and so I made a statement that was something like, I listen to criticism when it helps me grow, but I'm not responsible for what other people think. Oh, that felt good. Yeah. Okay. And there was another one that I wrote that has been on my list for a long time. It was actually in the book, and it said something about I face obstacles and look for opportunities for growth. And as I've been doing this program and as I've been working through things in my life and encouraging others to work through these things, I realized that facing obstacles creates a discomfort often, you know, and you getting into places that are frustrating and challenging, it doesn't feel that good. And I've become super aware that you can shift the awareness of that discomfort from one of like, I want this to stop, to a reminder of, or a reflection like, ooh, I'm being strong right now. I'm in my warrior path. I'm out of my comfort zone. The fact that I feel this way is a pat on the back and good job, you're doing it. So I edited my I am statement to say, I courageously face obstacles and frustration and look for opportunities for growth. And so I added the courageously word to remind me of that, that as, you know, if there's something that I don't want to do, or there's a conversation I don't want to have, or there's something that's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to look for the growth opportunities. And as I'm in that place that is not super fun, I'm going to acknowledge my courage to do so. So I don't know. I think that it's a really important, whether you meditate or read in the morning. I often will listen to lectures by, you know, Ram Dass or Alan Watts or somebody like that, or something that is positive and uplifting to set the tone of the day instead of letting the world set it for you. Ka-ka-ka, Katie did, asking, how do you deal with the come down after Burning Man? I'm having a hard time. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons, you know. One of the tough ones is that when you're in a place where you can interact with people in such a loving and trusting way, and you can be vulnerable, and you can let your guard down, and you feel safe, physically safe, you feel emotionally safe. Adjusting to life where you don't have that same comfort, you don't have that same support, can be very painful. And if to that, I would say, Burning Man is the practice ground. Burning Man is a place where you do have this safety. You do have the you're wearing pads, you know, and so as you practice being your best self, and as you allow yourself to be more vulnerable and open, and you get to do it in this safe environment, you strengthen your muscles. And the real warrior path, the real work is, can you keep doing that in the default world, even when everybody will not support and respond positively? Some people will. In fact, there's tons of people that are just scared and waiting for somebody to reveal their truth first. And you will find you'll have magical conversations on park benches or in the mall if you allow yourself to be that same person and say hello to people and offer them a lollipop or something like that. But the risk is that not everybody is going to give you that same 100%, we love you, you're awesome. If you're being true to who you are, then we love it, that you get at Burning Man. And what you need to do, or what the practice needs to be, is can you be the person that you want to be? Can you be that best version of yourself? Because that's who you are. Not because you get the response you like. You even do it in spite of what response that you might get. You are that person. And then if somebody responds negatively, or they judge you, or they roll their eyes, you can be like, oh, what a bummer. Like, I gave you such a huge gift right there. I gave you the opportunity to interact at a human level that is so uplifting and incredible and healing. I know, because I experienced it at Burning Man. I know what it's like when people open to you and treat you that way. I just gave you that opportunity and you are not ready for it. And that's a bummer. And I feel bad for you. But it doesn't change me. It doesn't change the fact that that's who I am. And by me spreading that light, I am an agent of this change and this movement in the world. And is it harder in the default world? Yes. That's why it's a warrior path. And that's why you gotta once a year at least get that community to strengthen it and bolster you up. That's why the regionals can be such a good thing too, is like that reminder. There are a couple like things that I do to when I get too frustrated. One is that I've now been going 21 years, so I know that it's time to start preparing for Burning Man next year. You know, if you miss Burning Man, you can start to think in terms of Burning Man by planning for next year. Decide to do an art project. Decide to create a theme camp or join a theme camp and add something to that theme camp. Bring something they've never had before, or take on a team or a project that they have in their camp. And then you will be visualizing Burning Man for the next 12 months. And that's the best antidote, you know, is I'm always in Burning Man mode. I am always preparing or unpacking from Burning Man year round. There is no break. There's no off season when it starts to become a part of your world. And especially with decoms, even if you don't make it to the Big Burn, you know, you can always be in the process of fine tuning and enhancing and building. So I think that can be a very helpful thing. Depending on where you are in your decompression, one thing that I used to dread, like doing my laundry and cleaning things, and you know, I use vinegar watered down in a spray bottle and wipe everything down that way. And one of the tricks that I sometimes will do when I'm cleaning is, rather than just dread it, I try to use it almost like going through a photo album and remember times on Playa when I saw that thing, or remember when I touched this on the Playa, or remember, and it becomes like a opportunity to reminisce instead of an obligation that I have to do. Frida's house saw me at GSR, the Grand Sierra Resort, which has become a mandatory part of my burn. In fact, I get a lot of sleep on burn night and on temple night, and then I party hard for at least 2 days at the Grand Sierra Resort in Reno, because I think it's so much fun. To me, it's like the true decompression, where you're one foot in, one foot out. You're around a bunch of burners, you're wearing your burner clothes, you're still being wacky and crazy, but you're doing it in a decompression tank, which is this surreal casino hotel that is like the default world, but it's not the default world. And it ends up being a really, I really enjoy it as part of my Burning Man plans every year. I'll book my hotel room probably in the next couple weeks for next year. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the Love Warriors, happy Hug Nation. I love you.